BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hi, I'm Amol Rajan, and this is the Rethink Podcast. We've asked leading thinkers from all around the world to give us a short audio essay on the kind of change they want to see, covering issues such as travel, healthcare, poverty, democracy, and humility. By common consent, Tara Westover's Educated was one of the most riveting memoirs of recent years. In it, she describes the suffocation and frustration of growing up in a Mormon survivalist family, and the liberation and exhilaration that the pursuit of knowledge gave her. She asks us to rethink education. As Westover cogently argues, post-war societies across the world have venerated cognitive skill as a kind of gold standard in human endeavour and the route to success in the achievement society. There are noble grounds for doing this. A society that upholds knowledge, rather than, say, brute force, is likely to be more civilised. But there has been a cost to this, which illuminates the deficiencies of meritocracy, namely that those who don't have a great education and thereby don't achieve lofty status can feel a sense of indignity or even shame. No wonder, as Westover notes, education, perhaps even more than wealth, is today the great dividing line of our time.
In the early days of the pandemic, we were told that COVID-19 would be the great equalizer, that it would bring us together because it would affect everyone alike, rich and poor, urban and rural, members of every racial group, those with advanced degrees, and those who never finished primary school. The idea was that a germ is not subject to those prejudices to which human beings so often are. It's not impressed by money or dazzled by prestige. It doesn't see skin color or subscribe to stereotypes of gender. A germ is blind biology. Its one virtue was its supposed lack of prejudice. Of course, none of that turned out to be true. The virus was not blind. It devastated men more than women, the old more than the young. And in America, where I live, and in many other places, racial minorities suffered disproportionately. So did the poor. So did the less educated. The virus, it turned out, was pretty deeply prejudiced. But there was one meaningful way that the virus was a kind of equalizer, and that is that it made us remember the many forgotten people whose hard work makes our lives even possible. I noticed the change about a week into the crisis. A friend of mine ordered online delivery, and he added a 50% tip. Anyone out delivering curry in a pandemic, he said, has earned every penny. A week later, a pipe burst in the house I was staying in. I was suddenly without running water. But the next morning, a man came wearing a fabric mask. He replaced the pipe, and I had water. He didn't have the luxury of sitting at home in a quarantine. He had chosen to risk it, to help me, to protect his livelihood. And the same choice is made every day by nurses and cooks and cashiers and truckers and factory workers. For all the difficult stories that have come out of this, perhaps the most moving is that nightly racket made on the streets of New York and other cities, as people holler and whistle and bang pans to thank frontline workers. Doctors and nurses, yes, but also caretakers and delivery people, grocers and electricians, a whole army of people who leave their homes every day to keep the rest of us safe and well. These are not the rich and illustrious. They are not the so-called elite. They are often not paid very well for what they do. Many of them did not go to college, and for that reason, they're sometimes looked down on by those who did have that privilege. I've been thinking lately that education has become the new social divider, perhaps even more than wealth. We forget that in many cases, wealth and education go together, that education has, to a large and tragic degree, become a privilege reserved for those who can pay for it. Our modern economy has a great hunger for college-educated workers, and the result was, before coronavirus, that many workers all over the world felt dismissed and left behind. They felt that there was no place for them in the world we were making. We did, I think, become a little prejudiced against work. We began to believe that if someone is not credentialed, they must not be industrious. We tacitly accepted the idea that the professional classes are somehow harder working or more deserving of respect than people who work with their hands. But everyone deserves respect. And more than respect, they deserve to be paid. They deserve the kind of pay that will allow them to live a dignified life. My friend Gia Tolentino recently observed in The New Yorker that there's something corrupt about a society in which essential workers are paid so little that they cannot survive the emergencies through which they must sustain the rest of us. So here's what I hope we remember as we set about to rebuild our post-coronavirus world. I hope we remember the people who keep the lights on and the factories open, the farms stocked and the pipes clear, who cook and farm and drive and caretake and plumb and wire and wash and build. I hope we remember that we are not two peoples, not the elite and the non-elite, the college-educated and the not, the urban and rural, the white-collar and the blue. We are one people. Let's build a world in which we can be one people.
That was Tara Westover. A huge thanks to her. There is a bubbling debate, one with which I am obsessed, about whether the meritocratic settlement by which we tell the educated that they deserve their success and by implication tell the less educated that they deserve their place at the bottom of society's ladder is not wholly conducive to social harmony or individual satisfaction. If anything should result from the weekly clap for carers we saw in the UK, perhaps, as Westover suggests, it should be the feeling that people who deserve proper recognition and pay aren't just the cognitively skilled. Those who care for us deserve success and status too. Thanks for listening to the Rethink podcast. You can hear many more episodes on BBC Sounds.